Well, welcome to our next episode of Feral and Fabulous. I am so excited about the guest today. I have known him. We were just talking a little bit. I have known him literally, I think, since he was 4 years old.
That's right.
I was probably seven. So that makes it even more fun. The one and only Dr. Pemaraju Rao.
Hi.
And Rama, as we like to call him
or
around
Dr.
here.
Or Dr. Rama.
Dr. Rama. Okay.
Yeah. Just like my website, Dr. Rama.
There you go, Dr. Right. Rama. I guess I should have introduced you as Dr. Rama because
that's okay.
I've always known you as Rama. But I'm super, like I said, super excited to hear what all's going on. Obviously, you're a doctor. You're in
that's
medicine.
Right, yes.
But what I'd like to talk about first is just, again, how we met. Because, again, it's just been, 20 years ago or so. But anyway, back then when you were like four, I was maybe seven. I'm so curious. I know how we got to San Antonio, but how did your family get to San Antonio?
Oh, my. That's a long history. Well, my parents were actually pioneers. They were the first Indians in South Texas.
Oh, that's so
cool.
So
they came in 1958.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And my dad originally was on
to San Antonio?
Yes, direct.
Okay,
my dad was a Fulbright scholar.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
And at that time, one of four people chosen from India to come.
Okay.
So he did some postdoctoral work and many things. And then there's a unique institute here called Southwest Foundation.
Right.
Right. So he's been there.
I used to work at Southwest Research Institute.
Right.
But I know that he worked at the Biomedical Foundation, right?
Right. That was the original.
Yes.
And so his whole background is in hormones and female reproductive and contraceptive markers.
And that was your dad?
Yes. Yeah. And so he did a whole host of many years of so many things, so many compounds generated, so many marketed. And so he was quite a genius in his own way. Yeah,
absolutely. I did not know that. This is the first time I don't know why I didn't remember that. Mm-hmm. Of course, I always remembered I spent a lot more time with your mom than with your dad. I think your dad was gone a lot. Your dad was always gone. So
right.
I feel like that's maybe why I just have so many more memories of your mom because I spent more time with her.
Yeah,
so
she was at home and did great things as a you know, Indian American housewife and
absolutely
mother and so many things.
Oh, I love your mom. She's amazing. So
yeah,
no.
I love your mom too.
Yeah, no, we both ended up with just amazing moms. Yeah. So
and we have to say that your brother was my best friend over
many
years.
That's right, Shane, my middle brother,
right.
And of course you know my youngest brother Eric
of course,
as well.
Yeah.
So we go back a long way.
He was always cute because you always could get to pinch his cheeks because he was so cute.
Right. Do you remember? Yeah, we called him Kissy Face.
That's right.
that was his nickname.
Yeah,
so
right,
back in the hood days, for sure. I can't remember. In fact, we were talking the other day on the episode with Eric just about when we used to put those plays on. And I think I'm sure you were part of some of those productions back in the Inspiration Hills neighborhood.
That's right.
You know?
Yeah, that was a big deal in those days.
Absolutely. So, okay. So tell me, obviously, your dad, is that how you got into medicine? I mean, what? Because your brother's a doctor too.
Right, yeah.
So
I mean,
how did
a combination
that happen?
Of interest, but also somewhat parental guidance and pressure.
Okay.
A little of both,
okay.
You know, because
okay.
In those days. It's,
I get that.
You know, today it's very different with our whole immigration issues and all.
Yeah.
But at that time, it was a very kind of a still somewhat unique thing for people from Asia and India to come over.
Yeah.
And in the U.S., you had to be highly professional.
Yeah.
It was very different than, like, say, England or other places where people came in different capacities, different vocational capacities. So at that time, it was still very unique. And so different waves of immigrants came. Like, for example, in the state of Kerala, where they speak Malayalam and they're Christians, there was whole thousands of nurses were employed to come over to be nurses in the American medical system because there's such a nursing shortage at that time.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's how that whole wave of immigrants came. So there's many reasons, scientists, physicians and all, but these days it's quite different, as you know, and we're having all kinds of issues going on. And so that's kind of then and now.
Yeah, no, totally,
right, yeah.
Totally get that. So what is your specialty? I know you've had your MD for, you know, many years,
right,
but I know
yeah.
you have more than one specialty. So
yeah,
tell me a little bit
evolved,
about that.
It's evolved over so long, but I'm awarded in child, adolescent, and adult psychiatry,
okay.
internal medicine, and now the new integrative and holistic medicine,
okay.
which has a board exam too, and a board at this point, because it's an evolving field with a lot of different issues, avenues, angles, controversies, and so, you know, we're kind of pioneers still, the first wave of integrative more or less came in the 90s,
yeah,
kind of came and went. And then, so hopefully now there'll be a renaissance of many things.
Can you talk a little bit about some of those challenges? Like, what does that look like?
Follow the money trail.
Okay.
That's the biggest issue.
Isn't that always the way?
Our country is controlled by so many factors, insurance companies, you know, big pharma, so many things that contribute to the market and influence the market in so many ways.
Sure.
And with the way pharmacology and treatment has been set up since the 30s and 40s, it's been geared to kind of eliminate all of indigenous knowledge.
Yeah.
All of the natural approaches, all of the stuff that was really known in the 1800s, 1900s, and to put everything into a pill or to a cure.
Yeah.
And then market that.
Yeah.
So the issue with integrative is that it's not exactly measurable per se, but there are new models and new ways of thinking to do that research.
Sure.
But at the same time, our conventional research, there's no guarantee either, the way they have that set up. It's all kind of a smoke and mirrors sometimes.
Right.
Although there's some legitimate information, but it's a whole series of issues where they focused on symptoms and to mask symptoms.
Yes.
And then to
trying to figure out what the actual problem was to correct it. Uh-huh. They're just masking the symptoms or the you know, manifestations of whatever illness it is.
And what's also happened since that time is our food industries have created an entire spectrum of artificial everything.
Yeah.
And so the idea was keep people sick and then give them the treatment and make them more sick.
Yes.
And so the money flow goes. And so that's all being uncovered now. And that's where integrative medicine comes in. But we do need conventional.
Sure.
Because, see, in conventional, we have excelled in surgery, diagnostic procedures, infectious disease, emergencies.
Okay.
And, of course, some medical interventions and for kids and all that stuff.
Sure.
But what we haven't done is go back to basics.
Yeah.
To address the chronic issues that are lifelong, but are in many ways lifestyle and diet related.
Yeah.
And so that's why we're at this great crossroads of treating both areas, focusing on prevention through diet
and
lifestyle, and also more of a natural means of cure and alleviation of the actual root cause of issues. Yeah.
So talking about those factors, what would you say are the biggest lifestyle recommendations that you can make? And then also when you talk about diet, I struggle with this all the time just because I'm such a foodie. What do you think is like what's cutting edge? What's leading out there in terms of what kind of diet is best, if you will?
Well, but before we talk about diet, we need to talk about consciousness.
Okay.
Because what we need to understand is that our food is medicine and that food reflects where we are in our inner self. In our emotions and way of living.
Yeah.
And even at that time, they realized that the emotions are key in terms to our empowerment.
Yeah.
So how we feel is reflected in our food.
Right.
So you have to start with that first. You have to be in a healthy place. There's so many people in various spectrums who are emotional eaters, who are just continuously eating in different ways.
My name is Kimberly Howell, and I am an emotional eater.
Okay. Hi, Kim. How are you? Yeah. Welcome.
Nice to meet you. I will eat when I am happy.
Right.
If I'm celebrating, I love to eat.
Right.
And if I'm sad, I love to eat. I mean, I definitely deal with emotions via food. So.
And so that's the whole thing. In my opinion, the greatest problem on planet Earth is the disease of not knowing self. And I think every faction of society, the powers that be, have designed everything to get everything outside of ourselves, that everything's out there and not to look within. So everything's designed for that. And so food, diet, it begins there.
Okay.
There's nothing wrong with eating and enjoying, of course.
Yeah.
But the issue is you have to be connected to why you're doing that and what's the underlying root so that you can get a handle on your emotions.
Right.
And so that the balance of diet comes in automatically.
Right.
Once you address that. But our model of medicine doesn't address that so much.
Right. Right.
Even in psychiatry.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So tell me a little bit about, obviously, you're heavy into the psychiatry element of things. What does that look like? How can psychiatry and people's diet, I mean, obviously they're interrelated.
Right.
So how can that work together, or how can somebody get help in a way that I feel like gets to more the root of the issue rather than the surface, you know?
That's the whole issue now, is that even in psychiatry, that's not the focus so much. There's a lot of talk, but still the focus has come to the medication model.
Yeah.
And also there is therapy, but the actual physician level is somewhat divorced from those issues.
Okay.
In fact, you have a whole practice where you sort of know the surface of what's going on.
Yeah.
But you don't have time to focus on the underlying emotions. That's sort of delegated to a therapist. So there's always a disconnect.
Yeah.
Okay, the therapist is sick, or they're like out, or oh, they didn't answer my phone call. Meanwhile, you're seeing this person 3 or 4 months and they're already on 6 medicines.
Right.
And so then where do you do that? And so the issue in psychiatry is they should be the locomotive at the head of the train in this movement.
Right.
They're the caboose.
Right.
And it's all reverse vector, 180 degrees.
How do you reverse that, though?
Well, that's the whole key. Okay. That's part of why I wanted to do that bridge between medicine and psychiatry.
Right.
The mind-body-spirit connection that everyone talks about. There's a big cliche. But how do you really apply that?
Yeah.
And it was going well until the 90s and 80s when managed care came in and decimated the industry where everything was compartmentalized. Everything was separated out. You had med psych units. You had people communicating, but now no one was paying for it.
Right.
So everyone kind of went into their compartments.
Right. Yeah. No. Yeah. That makes total sense.
And then medicine's so complicated that there's so much specialization. You know, the right hand doesn't know what the left hand is doing sometimes. You go to an orthopedic clinic and they pride themselves with, you know, 12 doctors, let's say. One person, you know, specializes in the knees. One person specializes in the spine. One person specializes on your shoulder. It's like, okay, so where's the person in that? You see what I'm saying? It's just very mechanized in that way.
Yeah.
And so, interestingly, even in psychiatry, they're not communicating that much with medicine either. Yeah, the surface.
Right.
But what it's going to take is a new model that literally gets to the core and depth of one's being, one's spiritual self.
Right.
And even in holistic clinics today, they're still scratching the surface.
Right.
Many people are island mavericks where they have their practice. They go to a certain level, but they're not connected. They're all pinpoints of light. But that those lights need to join to create a brighter awareness of what's going on. So we need a model that incorporates all these deep aspects of East-West medicine, naturopathic issues, and conventional. We need the marriage of conventional and complementary.
Right. So and it sounds like you think that there are still good ideas that come out of the conventional side and that are applicable, but we need to have more of the Eastern medicine kind of like merged with it, or what would you say?
I think it's many
like
components.
Eastern and Western?
I think it's many components.
Okay.
Ancient, modern, Eastern, Western, all of that has to come into a comprehensive model of treatment.
Okay.
And what it begins, you know, with the mindset, even in medical school, we're not taught anything about nutrition, psychology, any of those things. It's very, very rote. The first 2 years were very useful.
Yeah.
But then you get slowly entrenched into the system where as you do your clinical rotations and all, you are exposed to a finite amount of chemicals, finite amount of procedures. Some technology is better, but you're going to be doing that the rest of your life unless you wake up.
Right.
So you're going to be limited to this finite amount of ways of thinking and molding and treating without ever getting to the root.
Right.
It's not taught.
Right.
You know, when I was in a different era of medicine where to be in psychiatry, to be in psychology, or to do feeling issues was considered a weakness.
Right.
You know, we had administrators saying, oh my God, you're not going to psychiatry, are
really?
You? Yeah, of course.
I didn't know that. Yeah,
and then when someone would have emotions or would, you know, have really a hard time just keeping up, it's like kind of looked down upon as a weakness. No one knew what to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I feel like psychiatry is so critical. And I've even heard that, and maybe you can talk a little bit about this, that our diets are definitely like related to our psychiatric, you know, health. Yeah,
absolutely. And that's the whole point of ancient medicine, is that these people, these ancients, they're not fools.
Yeah.
They knew through intuition,
yeah,
through experience, and through, you know, practicality, what actually works, what kinds of foods are doing certain things in the body, what kinds of foods cleanse. All of that stuff has been suppressed since the 40s, deliberately.
Right.
Indigenous cultures have been wiped out in all areas because the powers that be, they don't want that. They want to be able to control it with a pill. And then follow the money trail.
Yeah.
Right.
Like you said, it always kind of comes back to follow the money trail.
And what they know is that the integrative approach with whatever you want to call it, herbology or, you know, plant medicine, all these factors, you can't just isolate the one component, put that in a tablet, and then say, hey, it's going to work.
Darn.
There's a very secret complex synergy of all these plants,
all the factors,
all of these things coming together. The ancients had these formulas.
Yeah.
And they're still there.
Yeah.
They're just not using them. Even in India, for example, the heart of Ayurveda, I just, you know, really feel that, you know, today's students and residents in India and in this country, They don't have any awareness. Really? They're just following that Western model of that dominance.
Really?
And so, yeah. So even they have no knowledge. In fact, Westerners are going there. Westerners are going there to educate them.
Right. Right. So, so how do we bring that back?
You have to have the clinic. You have to have the right medical facility that incorporates spirituality.
Okay.
The deeper aspects of yoga, nutrition, all of the aspects of ancient medicine, the cures, treatment, and the philosophy behind it.
Yeah.
Then you have to have the avenue where people can practice this. It's easy to just give them a list.
Yeah.
And then say, okay, go lose weight. You know, how does that happen? That right. doesn't happen even in conventional.
Right.
So it's a comprehensive experience that you go to the clinic. Ancient clinics were actually temples, sacred sites that has been, you know, virtually gone in the modern age. Yeah.
Yeah. No.
And so you have to create a sacred atmosphere. People have to have that an awakening and enlightening within that environment.
Yeah.
And then be inspired to make those changes.
Well, one of the hot topics I feel like I hear a lot about is longevity.
Yes.
So is that kind of like a big thing right now in medicine? And yes. what do you think is happening behind the scenes regarding that? I'm hearing all kinds of different things about, is it Rapinol or what's, I don't know.
There are so many things out there. Some are reasonable. Some, though, let's also, again, follow the money trail. Because what they're doing is playing on people's insecurities because our society doesn't value old age. Yeah. It doesn't value, you know, the elderly.
Yeah.
It's all been suppressed to become a youth-oriented culture.
Right.
So naturally, they're going to market things that have quick fixes that are costly and they're powerful chemicals that, you know, can temporarily help you.
Right.
But it just still doesn't get to the root. Like all the issues with all these weight loss chemicals, let's say at this point, okay, it helps some people. But then you're not getting to the root. If you don't make your changes from within, if you don't heal inside yourself through very, you know, many different ways, there's so many different things. It's not any just one way. Then it's all going to come back.
Yeah.
Same thing with bariatric surgery, you know, all of these things, bypass, all this.
Right.
We see so many people, okay, it works for like 6 months, a year, but all that comes back and people gain the weight back.
Right.
Because they haven't come to that root of what is causing their emotional issues.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. And that kind of boils down to obviously back to psychiatry.
Yes.
So in what you practice, what are you currently doing? Like when you're practicing medicine, mm-hmm. like what kind of job are you working at right now?
I'm right now still working in the conventional area.
Okay.
Because I have to put all these things together into my own model. And I'm in the process of working on that kind of concept that I write about and talk about.
Okay.
Because unless we do that, unless we have that example,
yeah.
I don't think people are going to understand or catch the gist. You can say it in words. We have to have a living example
right.
of that kind of center. So that's my ultimate vision.
Is to have that kind yes. of a center that kind yes. of treats the whole person yes. in all aspects.
But goes much deeper. It okay. goes into the places of where sort of no man's land, sort yeah. of the road less traveled.
Yeah.
But put it all together in relating to medicine.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
There's all kinds of self-help books. There's all kinds of spirituality books and all. But no one's putting it together with right. your medicine
with
health.
With the actual,
put it all together. It's all one and the same.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you feel like there's other physicians out there that feel the same way as you? Or do you feel like it's an uphill battle? Like, do you feel like you have some camaraderie or do you feel like it's a constant battle?
I think it's both.
Okay.
Because it has to do with mindset. It has to do with where people are awakened as physicians too.
Okay.
But even if you want to do something, people are trapped in that, in the cycle. It's like, okay, how do you rob Peter to pay Paul to do what we're talking about? Where do you get that particular funding? How do you have some ingenious ways to bypass the system to make the dollars, which are important.
Of course.
But also to do it well, that's affordable, because a lot of, private holistic care is self-pay, okay? And so you have to come up with a model that realizes that and offsets that.
Yeah, because basically what you're saying is it's not readily available to just everybody it's self-pay.
Right.
I get that.
And people are so conditioned to what they know, it's very hard to explore when your own doctor doesn't know.
Right.
Or if they kind of know, they don't have time to really deal with it because they're seeing 30 and 40 people.
Right.
And they have 5 minutes.
Right.
Right.
Right. So. But it is encouraging to me to hear that you feel like there are other physicians out there that there kind of are like-minded, that they see that's really the direction that medicine needs to go.
Yeah. Like, for example, with the American Integrative Health and Medicine, AIHM, there's a whole collegial group that they're the ones who are in these kinds of fellowships. There's two or three like that now. But it's very political, because even between conventional circles and the complementary circles, there's all kinds of issues that are going on.
Yeah. I've got an interesting question for you. Mm-hmm. If you had not gone into medicine, mm-hmm. what do you think you would have done?
Well, I still do it. I would have been more of a full-time artist.
Okay, yeah. No, I know you've always had that component.
Yeah. And then also business.
Yes.
Which I'm doing all that now, trying to put that all together.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Absolutely. And of course, I know that your mom is still living. And mm-hmm. how old is she? She's like 94?
Yes. She's going strong.
Amazing.
Yeah. She's not demented. She's not. She's pretty sharp. And she's a little hard of hearing, but she's her. She's just stubborn and ongoing.
Oh, no. I know.
Exhausting. She exhausts us.
I'll tell you. That's so
she
true.
Keeps going. She has all these people taking care of her. They're exhausted.
No,
I said,
exactly.
I said, ladies, you're getting paid for this.
No.
So don't come to me.
No, it's so true. Right. I love your mom because it's like anytime I spend any time with her, it's kind of like afterwards she wears me out because it's like she's got so much. I mean, she's so on the ball still. I mean, to me, to be like her at 94 is pretty incredible.
Well, that's from the depth of background. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. She comes from a root of, you know, South Indian Brahmin civilization that fostered these concepts and issues. The whole life thinking was so different.
Right.
So different in that generation. Also now, but it's getting diluted by more and more Western influence.
Yeah.
The West is great. We need the marriage of both, but it's going to another extreme where everyone thinks that the Western is the way to go around the world.
Sure.
Yeah.
No, absolutely.
For many reasons.
Yeah,
that
yeah,
are,
yeah.
That are being uncovered now.
No, absolutely.
Yeah.
So the art side of things, the artist in you, what kind of art do you like to do?
Oh, my goodness. I like to do everything. I don't do sculpture, but I can do every other.
Okay, but the painting and the watercolor all of that kind of stuff?
Portraits, metaphysical theme, landscapes.
Oh, I love that.
A lot of abstract as well.
Cool. Yeah. Very cool.
All that's coming back online, too.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, I love it. Yeah. Well, now we're going to come to the next portion of the program where you're going to grab your little paddle.
Okay.
I'm going to give you a topic.
Okay.
And you're going to hold up your paddle and you're going to say whether it's feral or fabulous.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
So first one is aquarium. An aquarium.
An aquarium? Fabulous.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I love me some aquarium. Have you ever had an aquarium?
Oh, yeah. Shane and I used to do aquariums all the time.
I was thinking that, but I couldn't remember if it was ours or you had one too.
We had them all, yeah.
So
many
we
different
both
versions.
Had, we had one and y'all
absolutely.
Had one.
Absolutely. We were obsessed with that growing up. Yeah.
No, I do remember
that's
that.
That's a very school age thing to do.
Yeah,
and
that's
I remember
true.
In those days in elementary school and all, every classroom had an aquarium.
Yeah, that's right. I'd forgotten that. They
now
were
you
such
have
a
video
big...
fish, you know, like whatever.
Yeah.
And they had a real aquarium and there was a designated person to take care of the aquarium.
Yeah.
So sometimes he would do it, I would do it.
That's right. Yeah, you know what? It's so funny because when that must have been in my subliminal mind because that's a topic that came up and I was like, I associated you with aquariums and I didn't remember why.
That's
that's super cool.
And aquariums are very peaceful and they're often in different offices and they're used for relaxation, mind visualization, and for meditation to get into that state.
Yeah, no, I love it. I got a listing the other day, a new listing, and in their dining room, they have this really big aquarium.
Yes.
And I was thinking how cool it is to sit there and have dinner or be eating. And it's like so relaxing to look over there and see all the fish swimming around. It was just it's like very zen-like, you know?
Yeah, I've seen house designs now too that what, the stairwell is an aquarium? I mean,
no, exactly.
Yeah, and then also like the, like you're saying, the kitchen island, when you look in, it's an aquarium.
Yeah,
right?
They're
so
incorporating all kinds of cool stuff into houses.
Cool.
So
cool,
I think that's, like I said, the up and coming,
incredible.
You know, new trend. Yeah. Okay, next topic, croquet.
Croquet?
Uh-huh.
Croquet, fabulous.
Okay, cool.
Absolutely. Sure.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Do you remember playing croquet?
I do. I wasn't good at it. But I remember playing.
And it was still fun, right?
I would always go in the gutter.
I understand. Yeah, I wasn't too good at croquet either.
Right.
But I just remember us all playing in the backyard constantly.
Right,
so
that
was kind of like, I don't know why it was so popular back then, but I can't even remember the last time I heard somebody say croquet.
Well, that's the point, is that we've come away, even children have come away from the basics.
You know,
do you see anybody flying a kite anymore?
No.
That, you know.
No,
like
you're right.
When we were kids, that was all over the place. In fact, our kites would get tangled. There were so many people.
Right.
You don't have that. You
right.
Do you see anybody really out there playing dodgeball and all these hands-on things?
No.
Monopolies like on a video game. You have to be doing. That's part of what I would like to do is to come back to some basics.
Yeah.
Because kids today are really, really in a different era, but they need a balance of both.
Yes.
Yeah, spending so much time on video, as we know. And, you know, you just see all these things in on YouTube and Facebook where they have absolute meltdown temper tantrums when parents try to set a limit.
I just saw that the other day.
Because they're addicted. The addiction goes very early.
No, exactly. Yeah. I saw a parent trying to take the screen away from their daughter.
Yes, and they throw a tantrum.
And she was, I mean, like, I thought she was being murdered.
Yes, right.
No, I mean, it was like a crime scene. It was like, oh my God, what is happening here? And literally, I thought they were just literally trying to take the iPad away from her, and she was not having it. I was like, ooh, this is not good.
It's been used as a pacifier. That's why you have to call in the nanny. Remember that show, The Nanny?
I do.
For troubled kids?
Yes.
Yeah, you have to call her.
I do.
It's not that helpful anyway now.
No.
But that's the thing. These systems are designed to create this addiction at such an early age. And that's one of the other issues, in my opinion, is that the other area, along with the disease of self, in my opinion, feels that addictions and the issues of codependency is the number one issue around the world globally. And it's causing a host of psychiatric, medical, and also many, many symptoms and issues that are just not recognized.
Yeah.
Even in psychiatry.
Right.
They're not as addressing that as much. Therapists will to some degree.
Yeah.
But that actual rote work with codependency, getting into the root of issues, that whole famous now almost cliche about the narcissist and the empath. Very, very true stuff that wasn't even there discovered in until the 70s, really.
Right.
And sort of really known to the 80s, 90s, an age-old issue of modern life. And so...
Do you see these screens causing a lot of psychiatric issues?
In my opinion, I do.
Yeah.
I think that this is just my medical opinion.
Especially
I think
with that kids, right?
How can we not say that that those rapid screens and all that, you know, brain stimulation isn't contributing to one's attention, personality, and many factors in learning?
Yeah. Right. And I feel it's like going to too fast. Yeah. And I feel like to a certain degree, younger kids, they don't have the social interaction like that we did growing up.
That's
you know,
the point, yeah.
I mean, hanging out in the street, playing kickball, whatever. I mean, we used to do all kinds of crazy stuff. Mm-hmm. And I feel like the kids today just don't do that at all. And so I feel like when it comes to social interaction, they seem almost like they'd rather text. They were sitting next to somebody and they're texting them.
Absolutely.
Rather than talking
at the table.
Them.
Yeah. They're just texting each other. Even families do that now.
Yeah. It's so crazy.
It's
I
crazy,
mean,
We need to come back to the balance. And again, the industry is designed to keep it that way. In other words, a whole generation of people who had our experience, they're dying off.
Right.
So they want this new generation of sort of automatons in a way, which that's what integrative and those related disciplines are trying to counter and also create a balance.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing wrong with high tech and video.
Right.
It just has to come back to the balance point.
There's definitely a role. I think it definitely serves a purpose. But like you said, I think it's all about balance, you know.
Right. But in your Christmas stocking, when you have a new a little iPad versus, I don't know, a bag of marbles, you know, the kid's
going to go. Jacks or whatever.
The kid's going to go ballistic.
Pick up sticks.
Unless they realize the value of both.
Yeah. No, for sure.
And what that means.
No, absolutely.
Yeah.
Rain.
Fabulous, of course.
Oh, I know. Oh, my gosh. So far, all fabulous.
Yeah,
I love it.
Mother Nature.
Yeah.
That's the whole issue.
Yeah.
We're not valuing Mother Nature. In the East.
Right.
And indigenous cultures, the mother is the most sacred. But that's being divorced out. That's why part of my work is to bring back the divine feminine into medicine. But all careers, all professionals need that love, compassion, and all, not just in words, but in real experience and sharing.
Yeah.
Because it's missing.
Yeah.
Today's medicine is still just many factors, but there's a lot of harsh patriarchy, a lot of harsh control based in fear from the top down.
Right.
Okay. We need to bring back co-creation, mutual understanding and respect, and this, you know, upsmanship.
Yeah.
In competition, all of these things can be softened.
Yeah.
When you come back to what's important.
Right.
Yeah, and that's the divine feminine, the feeling aspect that sometimes is undervalued, even in medicine.
Right. Yeah. Now that makes total sense.
Right.
Cryogenics.
Yeah, fabulous and feral.
Okay,
a mixture
good.
Of both.
A little, okay.
Right.
A mixture. Okay. Because I haven't really heard too much talk about cryogenics. Back when we were younger, it was actually being talked about a lot more. Mm-hmm. I mean, is it kind of gone away or is there still an element?
Technology is changing.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah, to more like, you know, more higher level technologies.
Okay. Interesting. Yoga.
Yoga is an absolute fab.
I know.
Fab, folks. Yeah.
I know. Yeah. Do you do yoga?
I do practice yoga, but yoga is misunderstood because there's so many different types of yoga.
Uh-huh.
It's not just like going to a class.
Yeah.
And then the person's yelling like a cattle call, all these postures, and people are like, you know, sweating and panting. That's not the idea.
Right.
It's like they've taken this Eastern version and put their Western spin on it. A competition. Well, yeah.
Don't we do that with everything?
Everything. Yeah. Always. So yeah, there's many aspects. There's the Hatha yoga, which is the practice.
Yeah.
There's a devotional path, the path of wisdom and introspection, contemplation.
Yeah.
That kind of fits into the therapy mode.
Right.
Okay. That area.
Okay.
All of these things the ancients knew.
Right.
You know,
karma. What about hot yoga?
Hot yoga, in my opinion,
is that still a thing?
It's there, but it depends on what you like.
Okay.
Traditionally, though, in ancient cultures and in the literature, hot yoga it wasn't done because it does affect the body in a certain way, the muscles, tendons, ligaments, and aggravates some of what we call the internal doshas or the constitution within the system.
Okay.
So it's kind of a newer spin.
Okay.
Yeah.
So yoga is not necessarily just any yoga is not necessarily the answer. It's just, it could be good. It just depends on what your body needs and you know. Yeah.
There's a tendency in medicine to just cookie cutter everybody.
I know.
Okay, like 500 milligrams of amoxicillin is this for this person. Is that for that person? It's not like that. That's why functional medicine is what they're calling in the West, really understands that everybody's unique in the way they receive a treatment, the way they metabolize, how their constitution is. And so it's tailored for that person or to those people that have that similarity.
Right.
And so that's not happening as much, but that awareness needs to really evolve. That's a big area.
No, definitely, for sure.
Yes.
Chai.
Chai? Chai is high.
I love chai.
People don't realize that chai, tea, it's very medicinal.
Yeah.
It's a very broad area.
Yeah.
Because all the components that go in have so many medical properties.
Yeah.
Clove, cardamom, cinnamon, ginger, all these things work together synergistically.
Yeah.
Can't put that in a capsule.
Right.
And so when you take that in the right way, it has many different effects. That's a whole science.
Yeah. No, for sure. No.
And art.
Yeah. No. That's very true. Do you make your own chai or do you actually just pick it up at one of the...
Okay. Both. Whenever you make it yourself, it always tastes better.
I know.
And some of them for me are a little bit too weak.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kind of. And too sugary.
Yeah. No, I do agree with you. Yeah. I think sometimes that's definitely something that can turn chai from a good thing into not so good of a thing because it's sweet like
cells.
So sweet.
Sweet cells.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Okay.
And the selling is sweet.
Yes.
In those industries, yeah.
Yes, that's right, that is so true.
Works together, yeah.
Okay, last one.
Okay.
Stevia.
Stevia, feral.
Okay.
In my opinion.
No. That's why I was curious what you thought about it.
No, stevia is okay for some people. To me, it has a very bitter aftertaste.
Okay.
And very
unpleasant. The taste, I was wondering of the health factor, because if you're trying to avoid sugar, you know, obviously you have the alternatives of like Splenda and, you know, whatever else is out there. Some of them are supposedly carcinogens. And so I just was curious if you've considered, I don't even know how you say it, stevia.
No, stevia, agave syrup, all these sweeteners, they have a purpose.
Okay.
It depends. But to say that it's more nutritious than the other is a little interesting.
Okay.
Because see, our white sugar is so processed.
Okay.
And it's bleached out all the nutritional components.
Right.
But to say that one has a lower glycemic index than another.
Right. Does that matter?
It does matter. Okay. But I don't think that's been really shown that one has a better glycemic index. It's also a taste preference.
Right.
In a way. But for me, stevia is so bitter.
Well, I was just going to say, like, if you're comparing honey to stevia, which would you pick? I mean, in terms of a health option.
Health option. I think they have health properties in both.
Okay.
Now, honey is a very different animal because there's many different types of honey.
Well, that's true.
And in Ayurveda and Chinese medicine, different honeys are used for different disorders.
Yeah.
And so it depends.
I heard raw honey. Is raw honey the better way to go or does it just depend?
Raw honey is good, but at the same time, there's some health risk because sometimes there's impurities that can cause allergies or allergic reactions.
Is that right?
Yeah, it can.
In raw honey?
In raw honey.
Okay.
But at the same time, when you have processed honey, then you go to another extreme. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, cool.
Better to have a fresh honey than a not so fresh honey. I don't know.
I'd always rather have a fresh honey than a not so fresh honey.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Right. So that's a cool note to end on. So, well, thank you so much for being here. Yeah. Really appreciate you coming
in
and flying all the way into San Antonio to be able to visit just get back together again.
Maybe one day you'll have a call in with question and answers.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I'm sure we'll eventually get to that.
Oh, you'll have many questions and many answers.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm looking forward to it. So,
me too. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you guys for tuning in to our episode of Feral and Fabulous. And we look forward to seeing you next time. Keep on keeping on.